Mr. White.
Luke, 11. Verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers. It's too bad Steve isn't here. We're going to have fun with Steve. Woe unto you lawyers.
He has that Shakespeare quote in his office wall. I'll kill all the lawyers.
Woe unto you lawyers?
No, he
Shakespeare said kill all the lawyers.
Kill all the lawyers, yeah. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and then them that were entering in you hindered.
That's a key of knowledge.
That's pretty good. So let's, what kind of noise are you making, Ronnie?
Bible apps.
Your Bible app makes noise? Sounds like a duck plucking or something.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that key of?
Huh?
Is that key of knowledge?
Well, we're going to get to the whole bunch of keys, but lawyers is nomikos, and it's interpreter of the law or one learned in the law, but it's the I can't figure out whether any lawyers were actually in the Sanhedrin. We know that are members of the Sanhedrin. We know that there's a greater Sanhedrin and a lesser Sanhedrin. They both had 72 members. And some of them were scattered all over the place because they had to make rulings in Jericho. For Jericho was a huge number of priests and everybody there. But anyway, it's hard to figure out what the difference between lawyers and scribes and Pharisees is, except we know Pharisees is the name of an organ, and Sadducees are both political sects, if you will. But lawyers and scribes define a function. And so I think there were lawyers in the Sanhedrin, but I haven't been able to prove it. But anyway, let's look at just one verse just for interest.
I noticed there's an exclamation point after lawyers, which you don't see too often.
You see the stuff that nobody else sees. Remember, this is not in the original. The whole idea of the way we look at this with punctuation and chapters and verses, none of that was there. But I think that this had to be one of the translators that wanted to put his
emphasis on.
Yeah.
No periods?
Nothing. Well, in Hebrew there wasn't anything.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of, you had to really know what you were doing to interpret that. But in Greek it was a common language, so there was punctuation marks there.
Yeah.
But the point of it was, there was nothing in terms of chapters and verses. It was just writing. So anyway, let's go to Titus chapter 3. Just to see one, maybe non, see how this is used in general. What?
I found it already. Page
1241.
Already bragging on your stuff again.
I don't know.
Titus 3. Yep. Let's start in verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Now, the strivings about the law is the same word, nomikos. So it's just lawyers do law stuff. If you've ever, have you ever even read the Talmud at all? Well, you know then that everything is, there's part of this Haggadah, which is the stories about, and then there's the, I can't remember the name for it, but the actual oral law that was passed down. And there's argument after argument after argument after argument, according to Rabbi blah, blah, blah. Then this is, but he says this, and this says that, and it goes on forever. But that's all, and again, this is, that's, that kind of thing is what striving about the law is. Because the whole business of it is, if Christ is your life, then he is the fulfillment of all. If you're still living in two worlds, then you know, then you will always strive about it. You understand? All right, let's go back to Luke. Now we'll get to Gary's question. Won't you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Key is place. It's that which opens something. Now, there are a whole number of keys that are discussed, so let's start looking at them. Biggie is Matthew 16. I'm going to shoot your computer.
Yeah, right.
Huh?
You have to go to settings.
Hold on. Why don't you just use the Bible?
I didn't learn how to use this. I'll just cut it down.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
All right. We need to look at this whole thing, so let's start in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, we are so used to seeing the words Christ, and in English, the word "thee" doesn't have anywhere near the power. When "thee" is used in Greek, it calls forth the singularity of something. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's a powerful statement that we don't have any way of understanding the power of it. But as you, I hope you know that Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. And it means the only, the singularity, the only anointed one. And we see, especially in charismatic groups, that everybody's running around with, oh, the anointing is so strong. That's not the anointing. That is what's called soul power. When people get together in a group, whether it's a rock concert or a Christian crusade, and the music is right and the lighting is right, then you can inject the power of the group, which Mr. Buckner used to worship. But it's meaningless in terms of God. In fact, it probably hinders the work of God. And I remember the interview with Benny Hinn, with the guy in the 60 Minutes Australia.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, Benny was talking about, you know, the Crusades and the power of God in the Crusades. And I can't remember what his question was, but Benny answered, well, I can't do that because the anointing isn't here.
They want to be healed.
Wasn't it something about healing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's so illustrative. The anointing isn't here. Well, if you need the group dynamic to have the anointing, you don't have the anointing. You have a rock concert. Yeah. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Don't be deceived by that. There's a whole generation of people that have been deceived, first by Frank Sinatra. I mean, I remember when they were swooning all over the place. I mean, not men, but then it started at rock concerts.
Elvis Presley.
Then it started at Christians. But it's group dynamic. It's the power of remember when it says a couple of places that now nothing will be restrained from them because they are of the same language, the same tongue.
Yeah,
now nothing will be restrained from what they should do or could do.
The Tower of Babel, yeah.
Right, and then all the languages were, but we still have remnants of that when you have group gatherings. And even in the disciplines of the Far Eastern religions, you have remnants of the latent power of the soul, the power that Adam had before the fall. And we've talked about that. We haven't talked about it for a long time, but he had incredible. Adam had incredible powers that some by discipline you can touch. Some of those powers, and that's what you see in a lot of the Far Eastern or Hindu and other things that do these tricks. But it has nothing to do with the majesty of God. Now that's why it's so critical that you learn to discern soul from spirit. Otherwise, you will constantly be deceived.
Yeah.
What?
That's a big amen. I'll
play
a lot of money on that.
What?
I'll play a lot of money on that one. That's
amen. Oh, okay. All right. So anyway, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever shall bind on earth, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And in Greek it says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall already have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, then he charged the disciples that he should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, there's a a whole world of people that believe that Peter was the rock upon which the church was built. But the rock is the confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's the first key. Do you understand that? Thou, and if you understand the singularity of that, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Anointed One, the Son of Man. So it, the power in that, if you can hear it, is it defines that he had to be, if he's going to be the Christ, then the Son of Man, then the Trinity, it defined the Trinity by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father revealed it unto you. Thou art the Christ, the Holy Spirit, the anointing agency, the Son of the living God. Now, it's the same thing. It's the same kind of thing. If the Christ is here, then by definition of all the scriptures, it's over. It's finished. Your warfare is done. Everything is complete. Everything is perfect. You've been perfected by one offering. And it goes on, and you own all things. All things exist for your purpose. That's a powerful statement. So, but to say it, you can, but people run around and say, Jesus is Lord until hell freezes over. And that it doesn't mean anything because they're not living that Jesus is Lord. Can you hear the power of that statement? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it's the words aren't the issue. It's the seeing of it and then living your life by that basis. No longer being carried away by diverse lusts and the sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. Especially you as the person that's lying in wait to deceive. And if you can be deceived by your mind, then you certainly will be subject to the deception of any Joe Blow that comes down the street. Because you'll find something that your mind agrees with. It's meaningless in terms of God and spirit, but man, you fall for it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon that rock I shall build my church. On that confession.
The context that statement came by Peter was very, for me, very emotional. It was like Jesus asking this question, who the men say that I am? Some say this, some say that, and then Peter just blurts this out. And it's everything. It went from zero to unlimited in
30 seconds. Yeah, and
and then it went the other way right after that.
Right. We're not there yet. But 2 seconds later, his mind came.
Yeah.
Get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah. All very telling.
Hmm?
All very telling. I have one question about the, in this readings here, Jesus called Son of God and Son of Man.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Son of Man is used as throughout the Old Testament as the metaphor for the Messiah. But
would it be related to Mary?
Right. But I mean, encompassed in that is that there has to be the Trinity for that to happen. In order for the Son of Man to be a Messiah, there has to be a Trinity. Well, that's too complicated to go into right now, but think on it. All right. Anybody else? Everybody agrees with everything we said this morning. There's no wiggle room. Don't be like Nick. Anyhow, all right. Let's look at keys. That's what we're studying. He's going to give him the keys of the kingdom. But one of the first key is the confession. There's nothing that can take place without that confession. You can open nothing. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And with that confession, whatsoever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall already been loosed in heaven. Now that's the key. Those three, I think, are the keys of heaven. I'll give unto you the keys of heaven. Okay?
That's where your statement in the past, the vulnerability of God.
Right.
To have
right.
reached out that far.
Well, it's, yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. The key, let's go to, well, the one we just studied, 11:52. Let's look at that again. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourself, and them that were entering in you hindered. Now, just think about throughout all of history of the church, going all the way back to Abel, whoever saw in the sacrifices, in the cleansing, in the whole thing of the temple worship, whoever saw the meaning, saw that was the key. I mean, because he saw the Christ in the sacrifices and in the feast, and you know the whole shebang. But what did lawyers do? Which our minds become the lawyers. Our minds try, well, I certainly did. I tried to prove it wasn't true. Because it cost you your life. If that's okay with you, then maybe you won't go through. But if you're, you know, if this is just another philosophy, then, well, blah, blah, blah. Then a lawyer, by simple questions, and reference to certain scriptures, can show you that what you see is wrong. Because it doesn't have the basis of it is thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, he couldn't have said those words had he not seen this brilliant, had that brilliant revelation. You can imagine what that internally.
Well, he'd heard it before. Remember, the first ones to recognize that he was the Son of God was the demon. But nobody believed it, you know. They just thought it was another demon speak. But this is a biggie. Well, all of this is a biggie, but I always say it's big, but it is. All right, let's go.
I'm not sure that they understood what you're saying about lawyers.
Okay, let's assume you're back at this time and you're in the temple. You see all the temple activities and all the sacrifices and cleansings. And all of a sudden you have, my God, I see Messiah. In the offerings, even though how the temple was built. And so you get all excited. I understand something, I see through. And then there's a jillion people that will be sitting, including your mind, that running around telling you, wait a minute, this cost me my life. I'm not sure, this can't be true. God wouldn't require me to end my life. So, I mean, that's the kind, but you could go through, and we could spend a year going through 1,000 half scriptures where you could show to that kid or that person that was seen, and maybe he's not seeing. Because again, are you the only one that sees this? What is this? How come nobody else says that? Those questions are infinite that could hinder the entering in.
One thing I saw while you were talking about your motivation. motivation to prove it wrong, whatever it was. It's like there's integrity and skepticism. If you just eat everything that comes your way, what's that? But
Yeah, well, that's all point. That's how you prove it. Prove
right.
to your own selves. No, you're not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you. If he's in you, there can't be two of you. Amen? So it ends the question of which one's speaking.
Unless I
eat. Hmm?
Never
mind. I didn't, what'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
Nevertheless, I eat.
Oh. All right, let's go to Revelation 1. We're not going to get to all the keys today, but hopefully we got to start. Revelation chapter 1. Let's start in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is the Lord's day?
All days.
But he defined it for some reason. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He couldn't be in the Spirit if he wasn't in the Lord's day. Does that make sense?
Well, that's eternity. That's
right. The day of the Lord. On that day. Right.
Yeah, all of it.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying, by definition, I am not speaking and I'm not thinking and I'm not seeing from the point of view of earth.
Right.
I'm seeing and thinking and seeing and knowing from the point of view of eternity, top down. And so that defines why the only way you can understand Revelation is from the top down. From the bottom up, you're going to have helicopters flying around and, you know, it's just craziness. So this is a critical statement to the understanding of Revelation. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardi, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head was and his hair were white like snow, like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches. So here we have the next key, the keys of hell and of death. So we're gonna take a look at what that means tomorrow, because we're out of time. It's Ronnie's fault. That was a record show.
What is clicker machine?
All right, any thoughts about any of this?
Stunning.
Hmm?
All that revelation is just stunning. The idea of the entire Catholic Church worldwide being built on that sentence, or actually they put it on the call.
Well, that's not, I mean, there's some that don't believe that, but.
Yeah, but there is the church, and that's, I think, their foundation is not the, I will build my church. But whatever, that's beside the point. It's just the fact that that statement is what it is. You know, that
it's so powerful, it just wipes out everything.
And it does relate so well to I saw and I fell on my face is dead. I mean, what else can, what's your response to that? What can you do from there? You do nothing.
Am I recalling correctly, is there a correlation between the seven stars and seven high places? Am I coming up with what I heard?
Well, again, there's a correlation, but it's the, you remember the seven mountains upon which the whore sits are the
right.
That each of those seven mountains are high places in our minds. and they're the same seven, they represent the seven tribes that were in Israel, that were part of Canaan. And each of those seven tribes had a king and all the stuff that it talks about. Well, so do they in you. And so the whole idea of the destruction of idolatry has to include this idea of the high places. So, the seven, there's seven woes, there's seven plagues, there's seven, you know, it goes on and on forever. But it's all about getting and destroying the places of Babylon, the place of the whore of Babylon. Okay? You're doing it, Gary.
Oh, I'm used.
All right, anybody else? Take a big guy.